Shalom, you're listening to the Remnant Mama Show on Hebrew Nation Radio, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. I'm today's host, Posey Salem, and we are so blessed that you are listening in with us today. This episode of the Remnant Mama Show, I'm going to be talking about Yom Kippurim and ways to observe and celebrate it, and I have my special guest with me. In my house, yay! It's Miss Remnant Mama Nitza Moshe, and we're going to be talking about some unconventional things in conjunction with keeping of Yom Kippurim. Welcome, Nitza.
Shalom. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. Again, this is not a teaching about all the symbolism and all the deep biblical study regarding Yom Kippurim. We're focusing on things, practical things that we can do to observe and celebrate. And there's many wonderful Torah teachers that have all sorts of teachings out there about Yom Kippurim. But just the nature of the things that we're going to share, we are going to get into some things. And I'm just going to hit the ground running. One of the very first things that is mentioned in regard to Yom Kippurim is the fast. The fasting. And we know that at some point prior to Paul walking on the earth, the decision was made in Israel that on that day of Yom Kippurim, all the Jews were going to fast. And we know that because in the Renewed Covenant, when he makes reference to after the fast, and that is a direct connection to the Feast of Yom Kippurim. So we know because of that, that at that time, they were fasting on that day. They had made that decision. And that comes from Leviticus chapter 23, verse, 32, I think it is. Scripture says to afflict your soul or afflict yourself. And so the traditional Jewish interpretation is that you should fast for 24 hours.
And I think that was Leviticus 23:27.
Oh, all right. Sorry. 27. So let's talk about that. Is that word where it says to afflict is actually what word, Nitza?
It's anah, which is the Hebrew Strong's Concordance 6031. And interestingly, in that passage, it's anah with the aleph and the tav, with the al tav.
Very interesting.
So, you know, the whole word of Yahweh from the beginning to the end, or Yeshua, or the living word, is right there in that passage. It has an ayin and a nun, which can mean the seed being watched, or an eye of continuance. In agricultural aspect, it's for a nomadic shepherd, for instance, or an Israelite, an ancient Israelite, he would build a shelter to protect himself from the sun, and he would sit there and watch his sheep or his goats and his livestock and or his crop growing. And if you look at the words there and how it's related in the ancient Hebrew, it can actually look like and represent a sukkah.
Yeah, I see that picture.
That temporary dwelling, but yet it's helping protect and be a covering. And, you know, in that also, that aspect, we can look at it as Yahweh sitting out on his throne in the heavens and looking out over and watching his flock of his people of Israel.
Yes.
And so a lot of what I think you're going to hear today is what I would call a Remnant Mama Midrash.
Yes.
And I think, I think my point about the word is that it doesn't say to fast, not to eat. It means to deflate, to have your eye to the ground, to humble yourself.
Okay, wait. To have your eye to the ground? The only way you're going to have your eye to the ground is if you're prostrate before him.
Right, face down. Because, you know, you're before the Almighty who's going to judge you. And, of course,
right.
To the Christians, we know this day, Yom Kippur or Yom Kippur or Kippurim, as a day of atonement. But a lot of Christians don't realize it's related in prophetic sense for the future as a day of judgment.
Yes.
Right? And so, and also for Israel, it was the greatest day of the year as far as the repentance of the sins of Israel.
That's right. It was corporate. It was their,
right. It was their
corporate judging, their corporate atonement.
And so what I think that we should see here is not that we should not fast, but that it's a day, it's really not so much about just fasting. It's about deflating ourselves, humbling ourselves, so that we judge ourselves and we allow him to judge us and cause us to bring to remembrance what we need to repent of, so that when it's time, he will elevate us. And that, you know, I'm not a singer, but that song, you know, humble yourself in the sight of Yahweh,
yes.
Or sight in the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. And to me, that's what this day is all about, is that we deflate ourselves spiritually, physically, and emotionally, and that with that anah, then we are fasting, but we are also afflicting ourselves, which we can talk about, with garments of affliction, which wouldn't be linen.
Yes, that's right. Miss Nitza did a very unconventional thing last year for this particular feast, and I want her to share about it. I'm so thrilled and delighted that she is here so that we can do this recording together, and she can share what she was led of the Lord to do, and that was to take off the linen and to put on sackcloth. And so she actually made a garment out of feed sacks, am I right?
Yes. I didn't, in my research, the sackcloth was supposedly mohair, goat hair. And if we compare ourselves as the Living Stones Tabernacle, that also represents what the covering was on the outside, on the outer courts, versus on the inner court of the Holy of Holies was the linen. So when you're wearing linen in that sense, it's actually a symbolism of being in his presence,
yes,
in the boudoir, in the bedchamber with him. Whereas if we're wearing sackcloth or goat's hair, we are on the outer courts. And so I believe that, for instance, when Mordecai fasted and afflicted himself and put on the sackcloth, it was, it's also...
Okay, wait, she's talking about, when we were sharing before we started to record this show, we made the connection to Mordecai requesting of the Jewish population that was in exile at the time that Queen Esther was going to go before the king, that they all put on sackcloth and ashes and humbled themselves before the sight of the Lord and to pray and to petition that he would be merciful and that the king would grant her the request that she was about to make and that Yahweh would save his people that were about to be annihilated.
Obliterated, right.
That's right. And so this is the first time that I've ever heard anyone make the connection between some of what was going on in that historical story of Esther and the exiles at the time and making a connection to Yom Kippurim.
Yes, and so I think what the symbolism there was, a physical outward symbolism of what was going on in the heart, was that they were wanting to repent for the sins of Israel, because in the Torah or the Tanakh and throughout Scripture, we see that Israel understands that if they do not walk in covenant with Yahweh and they're not obedient, then they're sent into exile. They're no longer protected by Yahweh.
That's right.
And by the way, on a little tangent on this, I think this is the real problem here in America and in all countries. Yahweh removed his hand from us because we are no longer walking in covenant with him. And so that's why we have 9/11s and things like that. And I think the Christian church is taught that, you know, only good things come from Yahweh. And yet all the scriptures say throughout the Tanakh that, you know, if we disobey, he removes his protection, he removes his blessings, and we receive his curses. Well, but we can always repent.
Exactly. And we just came through that portion. If you do the annual Torah reading cycle, you just came through Ki Tavo, which is the blessings if for obedience and the curses if you decide to not walk in obedience. And they're laid out before. And Yahweh has basically said, it's your choice. You make the choice what you want to happen in your life. You want to be blessed, then you're going to walk in covenant with me and you're going to keep my instructions. If you want to go and be wayward and do whatever you want and say, well, I don't want to do that today, then you're going to have consequences that you're going to have to walk through.
Right, and as a loving father, he gives us those consequences so that we won't be utterly destroyed forever.
Exactly.
And the amazing thing about really what would be considered a curse that we would receive for our disobedience is we can always turn that curse into a blessing by repenting, because that curse or that discipline is there because he loves us.
Well, of course, just take for an example, this pops into my head. In the front of my house is a country road, but there's no speed limit, really. I mean, there is, but no one goes by it. Everybody flies down the road at whatever speed beyond 55 miles an hour that they want to fly down. And you think of a young child walking to the front of our property and getting close to that road, and giant trucks come flying down the road at 65, 70 miles an hour. What's a mother going to do? She's going to grab her child and yank them back and start sternly correcting them. Why? You know, they might get a crack on the behind. They might have other things, you know, an older child, you might take something away from them or correct them in a way that to them is going to feel like a curse.
Right.
Why? Because if they walked into the street, they could have been utterly annihilated, as you said, by a truck flattening them out and taking their life away. It's the same thing with us. We're going to go wayward. We could have our life taken away from us.
Right. And he loves us. Exactly. And that's what we have to see. When we suffer and we have pain, we have to look at it as a gift. It's a gift to turn us back. And that is true love.
Yes,
you know,
it
if
is.
He loves us, he disciplines us, right?
That's right.
And so back to the Mordecai thing and the prophets, etc., is that when we afflict ourselves, I think that the wearing of sackcloth and putting on the ashes goes hand in hand with the fasting, because these are all things that you're doing to afflict yourself, to prostrate yourself in your heart, physically in your body, etc., to come before him and humble yourself.
That's right. Traditional Judaism teaches that on this particular feast day that you want to abstain from all bodily pleasure. So probably in the minds of the Jewish sages, they were thinking of that ikadness between a husband and a wife, but also food is a pleasure.
We'll be taking a break here in a moment, but we'll be right back.
Before cold season comes to town, remember to have Breathe Easy in your remedy chest. Breathe Easy is Remnant Mama's number one choice to help fight bacterial, viral, or fungal infections and for supporting the respiratory system. When chicken pox or shingles come to visit your family, or you have sore aching muscles or bone spurs, why not try Breathe Easy? Check out this blend of essential oils, which includes three varieties of eucalyptus, by going to the Hebrew Nation radio store and clicking on Remnant Remedy for more information. Your purchase helps support the radio station and your family's health. Abba Father is gentle, and he is our healer. He has also created the herbs of the field for healing, such as rosemary, tea tree, clove bud, and Helichrysum metallicum. The shimmin, or essential oils, of these plants have medicinal and restorative properties. These oils are all combined together in the special blend called Gentle Healer, offered by Remnant Remedy. Gentle Healer is used to help restore and regenerate damaged skin tissue due to trauma or injury, such as burns, cuts, bruises, insect bites, and rashes. Many have used it instead of stitches for wounds, and it has been known to help fight staph, strep, ringworm, and skin candida. Due to the Helichrysum metallicum in Gentle Healer, it is also used for pain relief and inflammation. Try Gentle Healer for its ability to combat fungi, parasites, virus, and bacteria. Help support this radio station by going to the Hebrew Nation radio store and click on Remnant Remedy to purchase Gentle Healer and discover its gentle healing properties.
Well, we're back. You're listening to the Remnant Mama Show on Hebrew Nation Radio.
Personally, I enjoy eating. I like to eat. I like to cook. And I look forward to food in the morning when I wake up. Some people can go all day long and not eat. That can be considered a pleasure to our body. There's other pleasures like watching television, playing video games, listening to the stereo, listening to their iPod, texting on their phone, older children.
Yeah. And we have different pleasures today than we would have, say, 10 or 20 years ago, even for children and adults.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about adults and some of their toys. You know, there are many adults who are doing the same thing as the children. They're on their computers, emailing back and forth all day long, searching stuff out on the internet, texting.
Basically, they're communicating with people instead of Yahweh.
That's right.
And it's a day to focus on our communication with him, because if our communication with him is not up to par,
that's right,
and the way it's supposed to be, then we have no hope for our other relationships and our
Isn't
future.
That the truth? That's right. That's right.
You know.
So we both sort of agree that particularly on this day, it would be a good thing to abstain from, I'd say, electronic communication with others. I'm not saying that you can't communicate with your family, you know, but I and Avi, we both pretty much will be making sure that our computer is turned off so that we're not tempted to go and check the email or whatever. And of course, if the phone's going to ring and we're in the middle of prayer, we're not going to answer it. We've got voicemail. That's why we have it. But
you know, for me, yeah. I like to turn the ringer off, because when we come before the judgment throne, And this is what this date represents. Nobody else can answer for us.
That's right.
It is just between me and him. And so I like to try to keep that day that way. It's just between him and me. Now, obviously, I'm a mother and I still have children, but I'm trying to direct their focus that it's between him and them, too, with a minimal amount of entertainment, maybe even fasting, depending on the age of the child.
I agree. I think that, you know, for some people, you have physical situations in your life, health-wise, that you are not able to fast.
Correct.
It's not healthy for you to do so. But you can fast other things. Perhaps you can fast the television. You can fast the email or whatever. I like to knit.
No knitting.
No knitting for me on Yom Kippurim. I will put that aside. Even though I don't get to knit very much at all anymore. We're so busy. And often I do that on the weekends or days that we have off. And so that would be sort of a day that I have off. But it's a day that I have off to spend with Yahweh because it's his feast day, not mine.
Right.
And so the knitting
It's the day he's saying, you know, Posey or Nitzek, come here. I want to have a talk with you and we're going to get things straight between you and me.
That's right.
So that you can be walking the walk and I'm raising you to be this child to represent me and my kingdom and be an ambassador for me. And so these are the things we need to get straight.
That's right.
So that you're okay from here on out. And we're going to have this little review, kind of like a job review, you know, every year.
That's
so that
right.
We're ready for the days to come and the things to come during that coming year.
One of the things I'd like to mention is that in traditional Judaism, Messianic churches, they teach about the season of repentance that starts 40 days before, and there are some that I've heard teaching against that, and they're actually very frustrated with that concept because they feel that the 10 days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippurim is the appropriate time for that experience, and they're probably right in that regard. However, I will say that for me, this year, the Ruach has started on me 45 days before the 40 days even began. And you're probably sitting there wondering, what kind of a horrible person am I that I need to start going through and repenting 45 days before the 40 days, which, what does that make it?
85 days.
85 days that I have to repent. It wasn't a conscious thing. It's just that, you know, the Lord just started bringing these little tiny episodes or words that I spoke. And that seems to be what, for me, is the repentance is about this year, is words that I've spoken that I should not have, words from others that I listened to that I should have not. And so I'm just going with it. And whatever he is bringing to my mind, I have been repenting of and considering and thinking about and searching through the scriptures. And if it takes me 85 days this year, that's okay, because that seems to be what he's doing. And I can tell you that we're going to be having some shows in the future based on some of these things that are coming to light. And I'm actually starting to see some teachings showing up. I saw today somebody's already done a show on one of these topics, which has to do with our speech and our hearing. And I'm so overjoyed at that fact, because I know it's something that it's a time now. Yahweh is speaking this, I believe, for all of his children to tighten things up a bit. We've all gotten a little lax in that area. But back to repenting. It is a time of repentance and of looking over our lives and having the Ruach HaKodesh put his finger on those places where we missed the mark. Mm-hmm. And we need to tighten things up and we need to repent. And you were talking about, well, we were talking about Esther and that story of Mordecai calling the remnant that was there in Persia to put on the sackcloth and the ashes and to get on their face and repent before Yahweh. And you made that connection of not walking in his blessing, and what happens? Bad things can come upon your life, and that's what was facing these people. And so he, being a prophet of the Lord, other prophets wore sackcloth. We know that they did. This was common. It was not something that was uncommon. It was actually also part of the grieving process, was to put on sackcloth and ashes. the ancient Hebrews, that this is part of their life. It wasn't alien, like it is to us.
Right, and as we want to return to Torah and the ancient paths, you know, for me personally, I want to physically experience and walk these things out, just like he gave us the Moedim or appointments. As we do them, we learn things. And so, you know, so when we look back at the scriptures, we see that the prophets and the captives and the priests and the kings, when they wanted to beseech Yahweh, when they wanted to repent, when they wanted to mourn or seek a wisdom and advice even, they would put on their sackcloth. And there are some other scriptures, actually, when we refer to oils or shemen, that it's inferred that they wore them every day. But if you were afflicting yourself, you wouldn't put on your shemen or essential oils. But what would you do? You'd put on your garment of affliction. And so what I wanted to share, and maybe some of you out there might want to do this year, do something different. I know a lot of people are putting on linens, but how about putting on a garment of affliction for the day of Yom Kippur? And or the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippurim is how you say it. And this is what Father put on my heart last year as I was studying and writing on the linen and studying the thing about sackcloth, and he's just making me pay a lot of attention about clothing, physically and spiritually. Now, as I said, you know, it's believed from the research that I did that it's goat's hair or mohair, which can look very nice, but can be actually very prickly. Now, I was thinking that goat hair would be very expensive for me to obtain if I wanted to go get some mohair. And I do not have the skills that Ms. Posey has, that if I did obtain it, that I could knit anything to put on my body to afflict myself. And so I felt that I was in captivity, and Father could help me with this and have a little grace with me there. And so I was going to make, and did, make a garment out of a burlap sack, feed sack. And what was really interesting is I went to the feed store and I offered to buy some bags, and they actually gave me several for free, and I think I paid 50 cents for one or two more. And I just went home and I cut them and I sewed them together so that it was a very simple, you know, you fold it over, you cut some arms, you sew them down the sides and cut, you know, like a diamond for the middle, for the head.
Kind of
like
a neck opening.
Yeah, like basically a poncho, and sewed up the arms. And so, you know, it was nothing pretty or attractive for sure.
Right. It was basically a straight sides. Mm-hmm. So it was straight front and back, like a big rectangle. And then you've got rectangle sleeves sticking straight right out so that the shoulders, that seam where the sleeve was sewn onto the body, it didn't hit your shoulder. It was a drop shoulder is what it right was. And then you had the neck opening.
Yeah, and you know, and if I needed more to make the length, then I just cut another sack and made do with the sack. And so that's what the garment looked like when I was done. And so then came my day of Day of Atonement. And so what I did is I put on the garment. And now for me to fast from food is relatively very easy. I have a very slow metabolism. I could go a day or two before I'm really hungry.
We are nearing the end of our broadcast for today, but we'll continue on our journey of restoration next time. Avi and I encourage you to visit our website at www.seektheancientpath.com. Sign up and receive our free newsletter, follow our blog, and take advantage of all the articles, audio teachings, and Remnant Mama broadcasts we have archived there. Get inspired. Try a new recipe, learn some tips for using medicinal quality essential oils, and for living a simpler, healthier lifestyle with a Torah-centered focus. Until next time, this is Posey Salem for all the Remnant Mamas. Ahava and Shalom.